In the name of Jesus, amen. Going to spring a little surprise on you this morning. Here it is. This world we live in, this universe of which planet Earth is a part, is not going to continue forever. It's not going to continue forever. Because you see, our Lord Jesus Christ is returning to make all things new. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to reappear in glory and call the dead out of the graves. And he will judge the living and the dead. You know, it's not for nothing that we confess these things in the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. He will come to judge the living and the dead. Christ is returning, and that is either our hope or our despair. One or the other. You can't straddle the fence on that one. Here we are at the end of the church year. Two more Sundays left before we enter the holy season of Advent. And we are focused now as a church upon the return of our Lord. Again, either in judgment or to bestow life everlasting upon those whom he knows as his people. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 25. Actually, St. Matthew 25 is the chapter of Matthew that deals most clearly and strongly, focused most sharply on the end times. But Jesus tells a parable of what the kingdom of heaven will be like on that day of his return. He says it will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, to understand this, you have to know a little something about how Hebrew marriages worked. A betrothal, the promise of the bride to be and the groom to be to marry one another, was considered to be much the same as marriage itself. In the eyes of the community, the couple who were betrothed were married, and a betrothal could only end with a declaration of divorce. Mary and Joseph were betrothed to each other, and when Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit, Joseph naturally assumed she had been with another man. He wanted to break off the betrothal. He wanted to put her away, but he loved her, so he wanted to do it quietly, so he didn't bring shame upon her. Anyway, a couple might be engaged for as much as a year. Again, considered legally married in the eyes of the community, but they had not yet begun to live together. They had not yet consummated their marriage. That would take place after the wedding feast. So, at some point, the groom and his groomsmen would show up at the house of the bride. And the bride and her bridesmaids, represented by the virgins here in the parable, would come out with torches lit, and there would be a marriage procession back to the house of the bridegroom, where the wedding feast would begin. And it was a time of great celebration and great joy, and then sometime that night, the marriage would be consummated. So again, that's the context, that's the background of this parable that Jesus tells us today. Now, the 10 virgins were the bridesmaids. They had their lamps, probably more like torches, and they were at the house of the bride, ready for the bridegroom's coming to take his bride to his own house. 5 of these virgins were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish took their lamps, but they expected the bridegroom to come any time now, and they did not carry any spare oil with them. While the wise, however, brought flasks of oil so their lamps could be ready to light at a moment's notice. The bridegroom was delayed. It was late in the night. They all became drowsy and slept, and one by one these lamps flickered out. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all the virgins awoke, and they rose and they trimmed their lamps. And yet the foolish said, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We aren't fit to take part in the procession." The wise virgins answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for both us and you, go to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And so that's what the foolish virgins did, rushed out to the dealers to buy. But while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut and presumably locked. Afterward, having bought a supply of oil, the other virgins came also, knocking on the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "I do not know you. I have no knowledge of you." And Jesus concludes, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." What we are to watch for is the reappearance of the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ, for his bride, the church. We do not know when he will come. It's been nearly 2,000 years, and he has not yet reappeared in glory to call his bride to himself. But that does not matter. That is all the more reason to remain watchful, to be ready, to be prepared. The virgins represent the Holy Christian Church in this parable. And what we have is a division between those who are wise, those who are watchful, those who are ready, and the foolish who approach things kind of lackadaisically. What we have here is the wise who have faith in Christ and the foolish who lack that faith. Maybe they had faith at one time. Maybe they are members of a Christian congregation, so to speak. But at the critical hour, their lamps have gone out. The lamp of faith, the lamp of charity, the lamp of good works which show forth our faith in Christ. And they are found wanting. They are found unprepared. And when the bridegroom arrives to take his bride into his chambers, into the great wedding feast of the Lamb, they're excluded. Now let's talk about oil. Not that stuff found in Texas and elsewhere in the world, pumped out, but the oil of faith. Where do we find this oil? Here's a hint. Jesus gives it to us. Jesus gives it to you. You don't have to go to Texas to an oil rig to get it. You don't have to own a share in an oil company to get it. You need to be a member of the Holy Christian Church. One who has been made a member of the Bride of Christ by your Savior, working through holy baptism. You need, as one who believes in Christ, to ensure that your faith is kept alive, that you are ready and prepared. And Christ has given you all that you need in the means of grace in His holy gospel to be ready and prepared for the day of His reappearing. He has given you the gift of baptism by which your sins were washed away. He has given to His church, to you, the preaching of the gospel, the good news of complete forgiveness in Christ Jesus, who bore your sins away on the cross, and who was raised again, and who is returning for His people at the end of days. Think of this proclamation of the gospel as a way of adding oil to your flask. The good news that you are forgiven all of your sins for Jesus' sake. He has taken those sins away. God looks upon you with loving kindness for the sake of His Son. Jesus counts you as a member of His bride and looks upon you with love and adoration. That's how you should hear the preaching of the gospel. This is my bridegroom's love letter to me. He has also given you the gift of holy absolution. In holy absolution, the word of forgiveness is applied to you, certainly in this assembly, as at the beginning of today's service, but when your sins are overwhelming you, when they're troubling you, when there is a sin eating away at your conscience, you can come and have that sin absolved individually. And again, the pastor's absolution, according to the catechism, the pastor's word of forgiveness is just as sure and certain as if Christ, our dear Lord, declared it Himself from heaven. That's how much your bridegroom loves you. He has given you the gift of absolution. And again, this message of forgiveness, whether spoken corporately or individually, is the bridegroom filling up your flask with oil so you may be ready. And again, one more thing, and I bet you can tell what it is. The Holy Supper, Christ's true body and blood in the sacrament, given and shed for you to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. This is a rehearsal. This is a getting ready. It's like we had a wedding here. Kathy Hosey and Jeremy Flynn a few weeks ago, and the night before the wedding, we had the rehearsal, the getting ready, the getting prepared for the big day. That's what this Holy Supper is. It's Christ's means of getting you ready, getting you prepared. And I can say this, you will see your bridegroom when He reappears in glory on the last day. You will see Him when He calls you out of this world into His presence when you die. But right now, for you, here is the bridegroom in His body and blood. Here is Jesus giving Himself to you in a most intimate way under the bread and wine of the sacrament. And you come to this sacrament, eating, drinking, hearing these words, take, eat, the body of Christ given for you. Take, drink the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins, so that when Christ does reappear, you can respond with joy to that message. Here is the bridegroom. You can come out to meet him because he is the one who has prepared all things. He is the one who has made all things ready. He is the one who has prepared a place for you in heaven. Jesus gave his church the means of grace to be used. We are not to be lackadaisical about their use. If we approach the divine service in an indifferent manner, lackadaisically hit or miss, we got communion again, we have to ask ourselves, is our flask of oil running out? Is it empty? If we cannot endure the divine service, how would we be able to endure heaven? Because heaven is not a big family reunion with all of your loved ones who have died. Heaven is being in the presence of the triune God. Heaven is wearing the robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Heaven is being in God's presence. Heaven is an eternal divine service with all things made new. So, dear friends, in order that you can hear the words, "Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him," I proclaim to you that here, today, in the divine service, is the bridegroom. And you are to respond by coming in faith, coming in repentance, coming to receive the little gifts that a man bestows upon his fiancée during the time of their engagement, as they await that day when they will finally come together as husband and wife. Except the gifts that Jesus gives his bride are not little. The gift of holy baptism, the gift of the proclamation of the gospel, the gift of absolution by which it is just as sure and certain that your sins are forgiven when the pastor speaks those words as if Christ our dear Lord himself spoke those words from heaven. And the gift, the most precious gift, the closest you can come here on earth to the final coming together in heaven with Christ and his bride, the sacrament of the altar. Here is the bridegroom. Come to the feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.